This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Online at WGNSradio.com. Celebrating 78 years of being your good neighbor station. Action Line. FM 101.9, FM 100.5, AM 1450, and online at WGNSradio.com. With Scott Walker.
This morning we have State Representatives Mike Sparks and Robert Stevens. Robert, starting with you, I know there's been a lot of news about this whole revenue sharing in the U.S. Census. What is going on with all of that and your latest bill?
Well, first off, Scott, thanks for having us here again this morning. I think this will probably be our last time here since session ended this week, but we do appreciate you having us and letting us share what's going on. We're always looking for new sources of revenue in Rutherford County and our cities because we have so many people moving in. It costs a lot more money to provide all the services. And the new town manager in Smyrna met with me a few months ago and asked why in Tennessee the state share revenue is not reapportioned annually instead of every 10 years. In Florida, they reapportion that money annually, which is very helpful for the cities and counties that are growing quickly. And so I asked around at the Capitol and talked to legal services. They were able to draft up a bill for us, and we ultimately got that bill across the finish line. So starting with the 2026 and 27 fiscal year, Rutherford County and our cities will get a lot more of that money, and it will probably be millions of dollars coming in.
A lot of cities have already canceled doing their special census reports, and some of them, gosh, around 30% or so was the progress that they were at. I mean, a lot were not doing well at all with that new count.
Yes, people just do not answer the door anymore. And of course, you know, the city sent out mail and has tried to do social media campaigns, but people just aren't responding. If you can't prove you had more people than the last census, it's really a waste of effort. So I think this was a lifeline for Smyrna and Murfreesboro to be able to suspend their census projects, and that will ultimately save taxpayers money and the firefighters from having to go door to door and ask people to answer the questions.
And those census counts, I mean, they're not cheap to do from what I understand.
No, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, you think about how many cities across the state are doing those. With this new bill that's going into effect, the Boyd Center at UT will be able to share data about populations with the state departments that are relevant here. And each year, your slice of the pie will get reapportioned based on your percentage of the population. So it's going to save millions of dollars across the state from census projects, but it's also going to help the fast-growing places with lots of new money.
Now, according to the Boyd Center at UT, looks like the population in Rutherford County is going to reach 700,000 plus over the next 20 to 30 years.
Their data is very accurate and they are reliable. We can count on them to give us good estimates and reapportion that revenue annually. Smyrna, Laverne, Murfreesboro, Rutherford County are all busting at the seams with growth, and so each year when that report is generated, they will get a bigger slice of the pie and get more money.
Now, do we have an idea of how much money this will mean for Rutherford County over the next 2 years or so?
Well, next year it won't be any new funds because we haven't got the report. It won't be available till the 2026-27 fiscal year, but when you add all of them together, it's going to be millions of dollars.
A big difference.
Oh, it's going to be huge for them, and they can use those funds to help offset the costs of these projects that they have to do to keep up with the services for our citizens.
Now, there is a lot in the news, it seems like, over the last few days. Everything from the Real ID Act going into effect, I believe, May 7th or so, which is going to change a lot for what we do as far as air travel, and then also visiting bases. And speaking of bases, the base in Nashville at Berry Hill, the National Guard, that's going to be moving to Smyrna. So, I mean, there is a lot happening.
Yeah, Rutherford County is the place to be. We're kind of the promised land. Everybody's found out about us and wants to come here, and we're very fortunate that we have a place where people want to be and to have growth here. Of course, we just need to see if we can find ways to manage it and keep it under control.
Now, do either of you have any updates on that Real ID Act, if they're going to postpone that again?
They've postponed it numerous times. I mean, if you just keep postponing it, nobody's going to go get it. So I think this time the May 7th date's a hard stop.
Have you got yours?
I don't have mine yet, and
you
I'm supposed
yours,
to fly
Robert?
Next month.
I wouldn't
month.
Have got mine during the pandemic. I had to get my license renewed then anyway, so I went ahead and brought all the documents in, and it jumped through the hoops, and so mine has a little star on it
already.
I went
to Murfreesboro a few months ago over at the Blackman, the Bart Smith location, and I mean, it was so packed. I don't even know if I stepped a foot in. I just walked out.
And that's why I haven't gone yet.
Okay, then I went back. A month later, stepped out, come back home, started a search round. They said they had a shovel location, but then it said it was closed. So my wife called to see if I can get an appointment. She said it'd be May 20th. Remember, this has been 6 weeks ago, and I even posted on Facebook. I said, should all this be outsourced just to get people to think, okay, what can we do? How do we improve this? And I drove Lebanon, and I walked in, and the lady said, she said, well, it's going to be a three-and-a-half-hour wait. And I asked her, I said, what is the problem? What is the problem here? And
way to stir it up there.
I'll be honest with you. Here's what she told me, and I know somebody may not like me saying this. She said, it's all the undocumented immigrants here. That's what she said. And I talked to the commissioner because I'm on finance, and he come before finance, and Commissioner Jeff Long, Department of Safety. And somebody brought it up, and I tried to be nice about it. I don't want to be real super critical, but I talked to him after the meeting, didn't want to do it on camera. And I just said, man, there's got to be a way to improve this situation. But the staff was really nice over in Lebanon. And Keith Bratcher called me yesterday. He had to go get his done. And I think he said he waited 4 hours in Murfreesboro. But I asked him about the staff, how the staff treated. He said, man, the staff was great. I wouldn't want to work in that environment. Could you imagine working in that environment? Kudos to the staff with the Department of Safety for being patient. And it's a challenge, you know, no doubt.
Yeah. And this whole Real ID Act, this has been in effect since, I believe, what, 08 or so?
It's been a law for a long time. And I don't know how many times they postponed it, but I'm pretty sure this time is the final one.
Now, I think it's been postponed numerous times for numerous reasons, but the airline industry, I mean, they're not exactly excited about it because they're going to lose money if people don't get their real ID.
I don't travel. You travel a lot?
Not a ton, but enough to get that real ID.
Yeah, I mean, I may fly once every 2 years or something.
You know? You could put it off 2 more years.
No, I got it done now. But you know what's sad? And I know I shouldn't share this on the radio, but my license was expired and my tag was expired.
Oh,
I'm like, Lord, if I get pulled over, I'm going to be in a heap of trouble.
Right.
I
just under the jail.
In session, we get so busy that it's hard to. Then you got the I-24 traffic that's a mess. And
well, we got the smart corridor going on, so I don't know what you mean.
How smart it is. It needs to be smarter. But we are trying. I mean, TDOT is trying. I happened to see the commissioner a day before yesterday. They gave me the quote of the month quote of the week. I just thanked our TDOT help truck drivers, and they were out there in the flood. Robert probably remembers me complimenting them. I seen a guy in a ditch, TDOT help truck, and he was out there cleaning out the ditch. And it was starting to flood up here by Fessler's where the merge is from 24 to 40. And I just thanked them for what they did, because one reason that mattered to me is we did a tour with TDOT years ago. The commissioner at the time, John Shore, told us, he said, man, we really need to get these guys some raises. He said, they had a guy get killed, I think, 6 months earlier. He said, man, that dude gave his life for $23,500 a year. That's all them help truck drivers were making. So the pay's a lot more, but I-24 definitely needs some improvement.
I would not want to work construction for TDOT, just because of the fact that you're dangerous. Right there on the road, and most of those projects are done at night. I would not want to do that. You can't see
the
folks either.
When I was walking, I didn't know about this quote till somebody sent it to me, but I happened to see the commissioner, Butch Ely, and he was coming down from the steps of the Capitol outside, and he just said, hey man, thanks for your kind words. And but I felt bad because there was another TDOT help truck driver that was killed on I-40 in, I believe, Wilson County. I failed to mention that guy's name. I didn't have it in front of me. But, no, people need to obey the move-over laws and slow it down through construction zones.
Now, this big move by the National Guard from Berry Hill to Smyrna, that's pretty massive. I mean, that's going to bring in, what, $400 million in infrastructure?
I talked to General Ross here about a month ago, and he was saying the total economic impact, it was going to be upwards of like $1.5 billion, $1.8
billion. Wow.
And we've done some live radio shows out there with Sheriff Fitchew's late father, Steve Fitchew, who was the airport director. And I was out there 2 weeks ago on the new runway. It was kind of neat. Literally, we got to drive across the runway with the new airport director over there. And they're wanting to get a new tower, so hopefully Commissioner Representative Stevens and our delegation can help get some money for that new tower. That tower, I believe he said it was 71 years old, you know, that tower. So, yeah.
Now, I didn't realize it, but Nashville is basically kicking Berry Hill off their property, saying you've got until 2045.
Yeah. You know, first I heard about was Marsha Blackburn. She was in over there touring a company over back behind Burger King off Lee Victory Parkway. And not nice folks. I forgot the name of the company, but her chief of staff was telling me about it. But, yeah, great news. You know, we had Colonel Jim Reed on the radio with me 2 weeks ago. He used to be the base commander out there. Jimmy was with the 278th, and Valerie, if folks know Valerie, that's Valley's son. The Smyrna Airport has been just a shot in the arm for Middle Tennessee and our community, so it's good to see it expand. I believe it's 18 choppers that'll be coming back, but it will be probably, 2 years?
7 years total in the making. I mean, because they have to build new hangars and everything.
He was telling me they had to.
But 2 years is when it's going to start.
He was going to expand. I don't know if Representative Stevens remembers, but it was several hundred acres over there. And I thought, how are you going to? That's what I thought I heard him saying. I thought, where are you going to expand? I guess it's towards where you live, Robert, back in that way.
Yeah, they are starting to build toward my neighborhood. So it's already coming.
It's some good news. And it doesn't say a lot of that is, my understanding is the drone work. A lot of the stuff that's going on overseas, he said, really will be conducted from that area. So, you know, I don't think it's going to create a lot more noise, because I lived right there on Weekly, right across from where I was born. You know, the old base hospital's right there off Weekly, and you'd hear them aircraft. And Robert's probably, you got a pretty good buffer from where you live, probably, with the trees and all. But yeah, exciting news, and thank you for WGNS reporting on it.
Yeah, that's a big investment. You know, a lot of movement there for sure. So what else is happening right now within the state? What types of new laws or bills are we looking at?
Well, one thing that's coming up in the next election, which will be the governor's election of 2026, there will be 3 constitutional amendments that are put forth for the voters to decide whether to approve or disapprove. And if you'd like for me to talk about those, I'd be happy to give a synopsis of those really quick.
Yeah, what are they?
The first one is called Marcy's Law, which is a series of rights that victims of crime can get. So that one should be fairly non-controversial. I imagine that'll pass easily with no controversy at all. So that'll be on the ballot in November of next year. The voters will decide if they want to enshrine these rights for crime victims into our state constitution. The second one is a question about whether the state wants to ban a property tax at the state level. Right now, the state does not collect property tax, but in the past it did. And the way the Constitution is worded, the state legislature can impose a statewide property tax if it were to choose to do so. And so the question for the voters will be, do you want to eliminate that from the Constitution so that the state legislature cannot impose a statewide property tax? I think that one will probably be very popular also. The third one will get the most attention, and that's going to be a proposal that would allow judges to deny bail for defendants charged with certain crimes. Right now, you can only be denied bail under our Constitution for capital offenses, so that's going to be like a murder type of crime. This one expanded it to terrorism, aggravated rape. There's all kinds of crimes that are listed here that are just heinous and awful crimes, and the judges right now don't have the option to deny bail to those people.
Now, also, I believe, was it last year that the death penalty can be pursued in certain aggravated rape cases as well?
Our state did pass a law that would allow district attorneys to pursue the death penalty for, I believe it was just rape of a child, and that will probably end up going to the U.S. Supreme Court at some point to decide whether that's cruel and unusual punishment. But the question for the voters, though, will be, do you want to allow judges to have that ability to deny bail for those types of defendants? So, right now, those folks can make a bail. Sometimes they get ones that are lower than maybe they should, but they'll take into effect their financial situation, if they've got a prior criminal history, etc. And so the question voters will have to decide is, do you want to keep those people in jail while they're waiting for their trial if there's sufficient evidence that they committed the crime, or do you want to keep the system the way it is now?
And can you make it to where, well, the evidence has to be, you know, this heavy against the person? You have to have this much, you know, I don't know if you can do that or not, can you?
Well, I'm not exactly sure how the wording will say on there, but it does say that the judge has a discretion and they will have to have some kind of sufficient evidence to do that. But that's, to me, if we can keep violent criminals off the streets while they're waiting for their trials, you're probably going to prevent other violent crimes or even minimal crimes from happening while they're waiting for their trial.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. So that's going to be an option that voters can actually say if we want this or not.
That is correct. And again, that's the November of 26.
Next year is when that comes up. What else have we got going on?
Well, we passed our budget a few weeks ago. We've got a budget that's $59.8 billion. And we've made investments in all kinds of areas. One big one is transportation. We're adding $1 billion more dollars to the transportation fund. Right now, we've got a backlog of about $36 billion worth of projects all over the state that need to be done. So this is not going to solve that problem, but it will help, you know, get some of those off the list. Hopefully we can get some things going in Rutherford County. We were able to get 3 projects on the 10-year plan. The Smyrna, the interchange there at Almaville Road, Old Fort Parkway, and I can't remember the other one offhand now. There was one more in Murfreesboro that got funded as well. But those that was great news. But there's issues and projects all over the state that need to be done, and this will help chip away at that. Also, for the transportation fund, they're going to start putting tax on tires that the state collects. So they're going to take that out of the general fund and move it to transportation to help try to cover some of these projects as well. That's not a new tax. It just moves the money where it's going from one place
that
to transportation.
That was Hawke's bill, wasn't it?
But that was Representative Hawke's bill. He's been after that for a while. We have all kinds of shared savings from our 10 care waiver that we have, so we were able to reinvest some of that savings back into providing better services, especially for people with disabilities. That's a major cost, and this will hopefully help provide some relief to some of those families. We've made investments in our K through 12 system. Of course, we've got quite a bit of money going into higher ed projects. We're borrowing $1 billion this year to work on capital projects at universities. So MTSU is getting the Murphy Center
renovated. That was a big deal.
And they're going to get about $75 or $78 million from the state through this bond to work on that project. And UT is getting a new chemistry building, and universities all across the state are getting some facilities there. And even with this bond issue, Tennessee will still be the lowest debt per capita state in the country.
So when you look at bonds that are of that amount, $1 billion, what company lends that, or what institution lends that type of money?
Well, it'd be great to have the comptroller here right now to explain
Charlie
this
Bond.
To us, but they,
Dr. Charlie Bond.
They put them out there on the open market somehow, and people will invest in those. And the state, you know, if you borrow $1 billion, the state budgets 11% of that for the payments. And if we don't actually spend that much, if the interest rate is lower than you anticipate, then the unused portion just goes back into the general fund. But this is a way that we can get some of those projects moving faster now. We've never been pay-as-you-go with that type of project. We are pay-as-you-go with our roads. And I know some of the representatives and senators would like to look at doing bond for roads, and I'm not sure we want to open that door or not. We could get projects done faster, but then you're saddled with debt and interest as well. So,
you know, you take Jefferson Pike. I mean, it took... It's getting close to completion, and we were talking about it 20 years ago. You know, a project like Jefferson Pike, I could see where some bonding could make sense, because, you know, if Jefferson Pike was shut down, and I've seen it shut down, anybody that lives over there and has seen it shut down, whether it was car wreck or if it snowed. And I remember Nissan, when I worked out there, they said it would be it cost Nissan $60,000 a minute for that assembly line to be shut down. No telling what it is now, but Jefferson Pike's moving forward. But these road projects, it just takes a while. And I've heard, like Representative Stevens said, I think, you know, we're behind $38 billion. I mean, we've got to start thinking creatively, just like your bill, you know, you meeting with the town manager and coming up with new solutions. I mean, very few people are ever going to carpool. You know, you look at the HOV lane, it's a 99.9% violation rate. We drive it all the time. And to get a little bit more creative on trying to relieve some of this, you know, I don't know, Scott, you don't travel out 24, do you, much?
Yeah, I mean, probably at least two or three times a week. I mean, I don't know who doesn't.
And my wife and I went to a restaurant, a shout out to Margarita House on Walter Road up there by the car wash. No way, nobody even in there. And I said, let's just drive up here, because Smyrna was so packed. And we drove up, so it wasn't bad going to Laverne, to Walter Road from Smyrna, but coming back, and I went down the old Walter Road and to save some time. But I think there was two wrecks right there at Amelville Road, and I think Old Ford had a wreck, and it's a real challenge, you know, to and from.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's quicker to get, you know, from here to Smyrna, Samerly Parkway area. It's quicker to get to that location by 24 than it is to get across town to Memorial Boulevard. You know, it just depends what time of day you're actually traveling.
I know a lot of folks love all the growth, and I say, if you're in California, stay in California. If you're in Buffalo, New York, stay there. If you're in Detroit, stay there. If you're in Chicago, stay there. People may not like me sharing that.
Should we go anywhere?
We're full. I think we're, don't you think we're full?
Well, according to the UT Boyd Center, we're going to be even more full.
Our schools are overcrowded. And that's what was kind of cool with Robert's bill. Representative Bob Freeman, him and I are pretty good friends. And he's a Democrat, but he's really a pretty good guy. And he's a business guy. And for some reason, he called on me on Robert's bill. And I just got to talk about the growth. And I said, man, our schools is totally unsustainable to build a school that was going to be 90 million 4 years ago, now is 180 million.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. But the one thing about education, we've got to have some changes, and that goes back to the governor's leadership and the General Assembly with the Opportunity Scholarship Bill that gives parents a choice. I know status quo folks don't like it, but I think it's a good investment for education and our parents. And plus teachers, when are they going to get their $2,000 bonus? Is that July 1st, July 5th?
I'm not sure when the check is issued, but you know, it was funded in the budget, so hopefully they'll get it soon. The check's in the mail, right?
The check's in the mail. What's $200 million was appropriated for teacher bonuses, and sadly, you won't really see that. Mainstream media is not really going to tell you the good things. They're going to highlight on any kind of conflict or areas that are divisive.
Is there a way to use Tennessee lottery money to get more of these things done? Because they are generating money nonstop.
The lottery revenue is actually down right now, and a lot of the funds are committed, and it's very tight. I'm on the higher education committee, and there were numerous bills for people that wanted to get carve-outs for their private university or their project for this or that to dip into that money to use it. And we sent all those bills to 2026 because the numbers were kind of grim. People are not buying lottery tickets as much. Can't remember what the other thing was. It's sports betting. That they're into that now versus the lottery money. So the lottery money is really not where we want to go to start funding things like that at the moment.
Hey, and then we also have a couple of text messages. One person says, congratulations on the predator lending and hopefully getting that down. So what about predator lending today?
You know, there's one thing I've tried to bring awareness is folks need to be, they need to tell their kids and neighbors and parents and cousins, stay away from these Title Max, Advance Finance, check into bankruptcy, all these things. I could probably look out the window and see one or two here. One thing I want to compliment Town Smyrna on is they block that. I mean, that you can't bring more of these places into Smyrna. And, you know, our pastors need to start talking about this because these high interest rates, these folks are going to be trapped. And that I was talking to a young podcaster that called me about a week ago. He's young, 21 year old, and wanted to interview me out of North Carolina. And I said, did you ever know your grandfather? He says, yeah, I knew my grandfather. I said, did he ever tell you to stay out of debt? He said, no. Man, my dad instilled that in me. Try not. I mean, you're going to have debt to buy a mortgage and sometimes buy a car that or capital improvements for your business. But man, my dad drilled that stuff in me, and it worries me where this nation's going. And I don't think folks are paying attention to this. Yeah. And the one thing that's sad is pastors, I doubt if there's a pastor in Rutherford County that talks about this in a Sunday sermon.
About debt?
About debt, yeah, yeah, man.
You don't hear about it as much.
He grew up during the Great Depression, and he's seen people lose homes and farms and things like that. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, in another 5-10 years, we're gonna see people. I went through that recession. I had three businesses during that great recession of 08, 2010, and you started seeing the rise of foreclosures. You started seeing, I mean, I had a home builder I was trying to help. I won't say his name. Robert probably knows, big home builder. And I remember him, he was battling cancer. And I went to see him, I carried him some fish from our fish fry. And he was really on his deathbed. And he said, Mike, I gotta get rid of all this equipment. He had a couple dump trucks, backhoes, skid steers. And I promised him on his deathbed, I'll help you get this stuff sold. I think he died 3 or 4 days later. And it was hard to sell that. I mean, you could buy equipment. Any, you know, contractors out there listening, you could buy equipment. I don't want to say more like nickels on the dollar back during that recession. So it just scares me with where we're going as a nation with Charlie and I were talking about this yesterday, Dr. Baum. What's this nation, $36 trillion in debt now?
It's a lot.
I mean, student loans are, what, $1.9 trillion?
I have no idea, but I know they're outrageous.
I mean, and it's getting, I don't think it's getting better.
No. You know? No, we got another text here. Cherry Lane Interchange with 840, that's been added to the 10-year TDOT plan now. So what does that look like in the future?
Well, that must have been the other project I couldn't think of off the top of my head. You know, it's on the 10-year plan, so I'm not sure what year that one is going to be funded and start. But when they do that, it's going to connect and hopefully relieve some of the congestion with the traffic over there. I don't have the details of how that works. That's not in my area, and I haven't really studied it too carefully.
Charlie's
Charlie Baum's area. But it will be a big relief, and you know, provide some relief for the congestion over there in that area when they,
you know, folks get frustrated. I mean, even my wife, we're driving in, and I-24 is a little rough. Almaville Road had a constituent call me, and I know they're getting out there and paving some of this. My wife was even complaining because, you know, she was like, man, if you were on a motorcycle, you know, merge, you know how it's just get rough right there by BJ's. And I, you know, I used to ride a motorcycle, and I was like, yeah, I mean, those areas like that would scare me. But, you know, the challenges the state has is, one is the funds. Even though $1 billion, that's a lot of money, and it still isn't enough. And then you've got all these folks that are moving here. Let's face it, a lot of it's undocumented folks. It's impacting our, and that's what I said on the House floor. Well, I didn't say undocumented. I just said we've got a mass growth in our community that's totally unsustainable. And you don't have to have a doctorate degree like Charlie does in economics to understand this. You can just see it on I-24. You see it in the school system. So, you know, hats off again to Robert's bill and some of the creative thinking that can help us solve some of these problems.
Now, speaking of the school system, where does everything stand as far as undocumented students coming into the school or not being allowed to attend school in Tennessee?
So there was a bill that was filed by our majority leader and then the budget chairman in the Senate, and the Senate version actually passed in the Senate, and then the House version got through the Education Committee with a fairly tight vote, and then it had to go to the Budget Committee because there is funding associated with the bill, and it never got out of the Budget Subcommittee. I'm not sure if the votes weren't there or if the money wasn't there.
I heard it was votes and I heard money, so it's probably a combination of both.
Probably the money might have caused some people not to want to vote to do that because there was concern that if we move forward with that, we might lose some federal funding, and if we end up getting sued, that, you know, there was potential damages out there. Maybe, I don't know how that was going to look, but for some reason it got hung up there and never advanced in the House. Now, it could be heard next year. It's not dead, but it's right now it's dormant.
And then the tariff issue, is that going to impact Tennessee? And if so, what are people saying about it?
Well, tariffs are indirect taxes. And so, yes, I think they will affect products that we try to ship out to other countries. Our people are going to pay more for the products that come in from other countries. So hopefully these other nations that have been issuing tariffs or requiring tariffs for our products will work with us and work with the Trump administration and lower those to zero or a very low amount so that people can have better trade and keep the cost down. But no, the tariffs are an indirect tax, and they're going to end up being paid by our consumers, and then our businesses that are trying to ship projects overseas will have to deal with that too. So,
you know, Channel 2 called me, Politico called me about 3 weeks ago, wanted to do an interview about Nissan. And I was going to do the interview, and somebody at the Capitol said, hey, man, be careful, because they're going to try to spin this in a negative way. Well, then we've seen good news where tariffs are going to help Nissan bring back domestic production from Mexico and Japan. And as someone that used to work out there, you know, a lot of my folks that I got hired in with or have been retiring this year, last year, and the year before. I done the interview with Channel 2 about it. So shout out to Nikki with Channel 2 for even covering it. The areas that are positive, the media, in my opinion, the mainstream media, they don't want to cover it. One thing about President Trump, whether you like him or not, he's been consistent with this issue. You go back and watch him on Oprah. You ever seen an interview where he's talking about Japan, cleaning our clock? I'm talking like 30 years ago. So he's been consistent with this message, and I think if there's someone that's going to get it done, I think it's going to be President Trump. I know folks may not like Elon Musk, but I like what Doge is doing. I mean, Robert's bill to me was a Doge bill. My school bus legislation was a Doge bill. You know, Department of Government Efficiency, learning to do more with less, learning to streamline areas that have become bloated. I mean, our federal government's bloated. And what is so scary, I mean, I literally was just holding my grandbabies. You got some grandkids, don't you?
I do.
You know, I was holding little Henry David, and then Grace is running around. She's 2.5. And, you know, grandkids, I think, change your whole paradigm of life. You look at them and you think, I hope that I can leave this world a little better for them, because I'm worried. Are you worried about the future for your grandkids?
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't be worried with the spending rate today, with everything that we've been talking about. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues.
How are they going to buy a home?
There's no telling. I mean, if the prices continue to go up, buying a house is going to be out of the question for a lot of people.
I mean, you got foreign investors coming in here, and I mean, there's one subdivision. Is it Outlast Casas? That it's nothing but rentals, I'm told.
Well, there's subdivisions like that in town in Murfreesboro.
All rentals. Yeah. And, you know, and we need to start having that discussion. These issues aren't Republican, Democrat. And that's where, you know, Robert and David, how do you say his last name?
Santucci.
You know, having a great conversation, having collaboration and having an idea. These things aren't Republican, Democrat. And so much of the world is wants to keep it divided rather than having a good conversation. But Bob Freeman did when he called on me to speak, because he knows we're, you and I represent the fastest growing districts in the state. So then Brian picked up, made a story out of it. Okay, so I showed it. Told Bob Freeman, I said, "Hey man, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good." And I showed him that article, and he was like, "Man, I didn't mean no evil against that." But we've got to have some real dialogue and get away from all the chaos and the bitterness and the butthurt and the divisiveness to really help.
But, you know,
going forward,
some of this is at our own doing. I mean, I remember in the late 90s, you heard news reports about people building and buying what they called McMansions. I mean, people, their appetite for just stuff got bigger and bigger.
20-year-olds want to be what 50-year-olds. It took us a long time. It took me years to become debt-free. It took me years to you know, own a business and years to acquire a little bit of wealth. But I remember my dad, like I said, I bought a house on Wicken Lane, not far from where Reverend Stevens is at, and I bought it with no money out of pocket. I was proud of myself. I was 28, done a deal with a guy, an investor, zero money out of pocket, had a used Mercedes with $140,000 on it for my wife. And my dad didn't speak to me for like 4 months.
Because you financed it.
He thought I wanted to. No, because I guess I had some debt, but I bought it with zero money out of pocket. And then I rented our house out, which is now our business on Nissan Drive. And I think he looked at it like I was trying to keep up with the Walkers and the Stevens.
but you know? Yes, I mean, a lot of it is our own doing. I mean, people were.
But how do we change that paradigm?
I don't know that you do at this current rate that we're at right now. I mean, a 3,000 square foot house these days is how much money?
I don't know.
In Murfreesboro, over $1 million these days.
It's probably $600,000 or $700,000 easy.
Yeah. So, I mean, the prices keep going up. And if we keep buying bigger and buying more land, then we're going to have less land to build on.
Yeah, it's really concerning. I remember Mike Hollingshead owns Murder Ready Mix. I remember him telling me years ago. He said, "Man, I grew up poor." He said, "I know what it's like to be poor. And I'm not afraid to live in that little 900 square foot home he used to own." I think it was 2-bedroom or something. And but I was sharing at a chamber event. I was on that reduced lunch program growing up. I mean, I knew what it was like when they called my name out. "Hey, do you have your check?" That's embarrassing. But it taught me to manage and do more with less and have some compassion on the next person who may not have as much.
Well, we got to take a short break and then we'll be right back. Time right now, 8:51. We have State Representative Mike Sparks and Robert Stevens in studio. Again, stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. When Kristen said, "Okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open for booth seats, a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time." Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. If you prefer your pets small and furry, we've got you covered here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our extensive small animal department located downstairs. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
I am Charlotte Gardner.
Why do you love Adams Place?
Gee, there are so many things, but I guess the choices. You can be as lazy as you want to be. You can be as active as you want to be. The residents are friendly. The staff is wonderful. You don't need to be concerned at all. It's up to you.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This is the Action Line. State Representative Mike Sparks and Robert Stevens in studio. I know Marsha Blackburn had a bill, I think it passed recently, about AI and governing AI. And
deepfakes.
Yeah.
Deepfakes. Well, what I thought was interesting, you know, we voted on a bill this week, House Bill 1299.
So it was passed also at the local level of the state.
We passed it Tuesday, Robert, with Bree Smith. It came up, Channel 5, used to be with Channel 5, the meteorologist, young lady, but it creates a what they call legal framework for victims to sue and recover for financial damages for a person who has posted pictures of intimate digital depictions without consent. Creates a Class E felony that threatens to, if you threaten to disclose intimate digital depictions with the intent to harass, annoy, alarm, or cause substantial harm to the finance reputation of a depicted individual. My understanding of Bree Smith, and Representative Stevens may be able to add to this, someone took her face and posted on some nude image, and it went out, and she came up and testified before a committee, and naturally created trauma. I remember being it was a media class about 3 years ago, and we were talking about deep fakes. And if folks would know what deep fakes are, you could literally take Bill Lee and have him saying something right before an election, saying something racist or something. Right? I mean, and it looks so real. So it's a serious threat to folks' welfare and even businesses if they've got some kind of damage. But this was House Bill 1299, and that was kind of led by William Lambert, if I'm not mistaken, and Bree Smith. Kudos to her for coming up and testifying.
So this would make that a felony.
Yeah.
If they're able to find the person that did it make an arrest.
Yeah, we've had young people that's committed suicide on this, where someone threatens to distribute an image. And young people need to know this, man. I had the unlawful photography bill probably 5 years ago that the governor signed into law. I talked about strange coincidences, and right the day before I was presenting that bill, it happened. Someone put a hidden camera over there by Volunteer Park, on the what we call the base. Is that Volunteer Park? Volunteer Park.
I think so.
And someone put a camera in there and was trying to, you know, record females in there. And
was it in a park bathroom? What was it?
In a park bathroom. I mean, there's some sick people out there. And we keep coming up with new legislation, and I'm like, it's just hard to, it's hard to legislate stupidity, and folks are going to do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But they got to realize that there's consequences. And if they get this stuff on their record, they're going to live with it the rest of their life. And that's why I wish, you know, we could inform young people to make better decisions. And because they may think it's being innocent, and all of a sudden this girl's
I don't know
minor.
How you can think that, though. I mean, something's
well,
wrong with your way of thinking.
17 or 16. I mean, hopefully they know better, but
I don't know. I think fundamentally there's something wrong with a lot of people's thinking these days.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in that time with the social media we have today. That it's already difficult enough for young people. I remember how difficult it was in the high school years and that. So you think about what they faced today. I mean, that's the biggest complaint I get from teachers is the childhood behavior.
Well, I am glad we didn't have social media when I was growing up in high school. I would have posted stupid stuff. Yeah,
you'd
luckily that was not me. Yeah, there's no telling what kind of dumb stuff I would have posted.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, we pretty much are out of time.
All right, exactly.
We got like 40 seconds left. So thank you for joining us. Anything y'all want to say before we get off the air?
Well, now that we're out of session, I think people don't have to worry about us getting into their lives anymore this year. So it's good to be done and get back into the real world. And like I said yesterday at the Smyrna Town Council meeting, the best ideas come from people back home. So reach out to us if you have anything that you'd like us to help you with.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Scott.
State Representative Mike Sparks and Robert Stevens this morning.
Hey, did you see that crowd last week?
Well, it's the 50th season. What'd you expect? Fireworks?
Nah, just sweet corn and smiles.
This year marks 50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.